Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Available, as always, on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. What's going on, everybody? It's Louis DiBiase.
Lars Lewis, baby.
Lars Lewis, welcome back to the show, man. We're in a lot more of a chippy mood than you would probably expect after a loss yesterday in Tampa Bay to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzmagic.
It happened, but you know what? We're in a bright spirit today. You know, I don't know why.
There's a lot that's happening.
And by the way, it reminds me of like the start of free agency where just news is coming out of the wazoo. I love this kind of stuff.
And also, you and I were watching the game together yesterday.
Yep.
We had a lot of despair. You looked depressed.
It was the first time the Eagles had a meaningful loss since week 12 of last year. Yeah. So it was a long time. I had to get that out of me. I had to get back to used to how that feels. You know, I got to get back to that feeling. I got to get used to it again because, again, they haven't lost in so long in a meaningful game. So, but I'm over it, Lars.
Even if week two is considered a meaningful game.
I mean, yeah, they lost in week two last year against Kansas City and then ended up ripping up 9 wins straight. But you want to know why I'm in a good mood today, Lars? The Sheriff is back.
He's back.
Who should have been the MVP in 2017, broke the Eagles' passing record for touchdowns in a single season with 33. Number 11, former second overall pick himself, the face of the franchise, Carson Wentz, has been cleared for contact, and Doug Peterson just announced in his press conference that he will start week 3 against the Colts, and I am ecstatic. It makes this loss yesterday feel like absolutely nothing. And we get back to, you know what, I love Nick Foles, and thank you, Nick Foles, for getting hot at the right time, for creating lifetime memories for Eagles fans with that Super Bowl win. And thank you for helping get to 1-1 this year. But we're going now from a good quarterback to a great quarterback, to a potential elite quarterback. And I think we forget just how good he is because it's been so long since we've seen him. I've just missed watching the guy play football. It's just outside of the confines of Peterson's offense, running around, making plays on the run, throwing and running, just some of the plays that he sees that Foles did not see in the past couple weeks.
You hadn't seen him in 10 months.
Yeah, it's just how much better the offense is going to be just by adding Carson Wentz. We're going to get into later in the show the Eagles adding another wide receiver with what happened yesterday and now the Mike Wallace injury, so we're going to get into that. But Carson Wentz coming in just right there is an element to the offense that's going to open up the entire playbook where, you know, he's not going to miss Zach Ertz wide open in the corner of the end zone like Foles did yesterday. There's going to be plays where his progressions, he's going to go through them quicker. He's going to digest things that the defense shows you faster, and he's going to get it to the open receiver and to the right look for the bigger play far more times than Nick Foles has tried to do this season. And I'm just so excited to get Carson Wentz back because he is just so much fun to watch, and I feel like we're going to be like, okay, yeah, this, you know, Nick Foles, we've been all Nick Foles because of the Philly special, because of the Super Bowl, but when Carson Wentz comes back, it's like, yeah, okay, this is why we traded up. This is the guy. This is going to be not just for the Eagles, but this could be the guy for the NFL for the next 10 to 15 years if he's healthy, which he is right now, and he's back, and if he keeps playing like he did last year. I'm good, Lars. I'm ready for the Colts already. I know it's Monday and we're only a day removed from that loss to Tampa Bay, but I'm ready to turn the page with Carson Wentz as our quarterback.
I can see it in your eyes. At least right now, I haven't
had this type of feeling for a player since Michael Vick. It's been that long. It's been about, you know, that 2010 season was when I was so excited to watch just one player on the Eagles as much as I am for Carson Wentz, and that was 8 years ago.
You honestly look like a kid that was granted a $500 shopping spree in a candy store, and you could just
town.
Do whatever you want and go nuts. That's kind of how it's going to feel Sunday with Carson Wentz coming back. But I would say, on the other hand, I think we know what we're going to get out of Carson Wentz. We saw it last year. However, something I want to talk about, who is he going to throw the ball to? Because right now, Mike Wallace, as reported, is actually not going on IR, but he's going to be out for a while. And Aguilar, man, he had a really good game yesterday, especially that catch in the fourth quarter, over the shoulder on fourth down. I'll give Nick Foles this. That was an incredible throw.
It was probably one of the best throws I've ever seen him throw. In the corner, there was no room to work with. And Nick Foles' basketball background almost looks like he's going up for a teardrop, you know, a floater.
That looked like a jump shot.
Foles, where the ball just goes high and it sinks straight down perfectly in Nelson Aguilar's chest. It was a great throw. It was a great throw. But in the second segment, we're going to get into the wide receivers more because they did ask today Doug Peterson if he thinks Carson Wentz has enough next Sunday against the Colts. And so we'll get into that. But just, you know, for Carson Wentz right now, he's healthy. And I know in Philadelphia we have a background of being conservative with guys with leg injuries. I point to the 76ers and Joel Embiid. Sometimes they were cautious just for the sake of being cautious, even if Joel Embiid shouldn't have been restricted or didn't need to be from, you know, a health perspective.
You just don't know.
But what I love about Doug Peterson and what he said today in his press conference is he's not going to coach scared with Carson Wentz. If he's healthy, he's healthy. And that's what I'm saying is if the guy is clear, the guy is cleared. And I'm not holding back, because if I'm holding back, that means I don't trust him at 100% ability right now to make plays at full health and that he's not going to get hurt again. And if I'm that cautious about it, I'm going to keep playing Nick Foles. So if the doctors tell me he can get hit and he's ready to go, then I'm going full force with this playbook, and I'm letting Carson Wentz embrace the offense, and I'm letting him take over, and I want him to make the crazy plays on the run, running down the field, and within the offense as well, within the pocket, making moves, stepping up. His pocket presence was incredible last year. I want him to be able to do all of that, and I'm not trying to hold that back because he did tear his ACL last year and because of how valuable he is and how much value the Eagles have put into him for the franchise. But again, if you're throwing him out in the field, that means you trust that he's healthy and that there's not going to be a re-rupture unless a crazy, you know, knock on wood that doesn't happen. But if he's playing, he's playing, and I'm not holding him back, or else what are we doing, you know?
However, this would be my line of thinking. So this Sunday, Carson Wentz gets a start. First offensive series, I think maybe even throughout the first couple of series. I think that Peterson is going to keep it rather simple for Carson Wentz. Because when you haven't played in nearly 10 months, your timing isn't going to be the same as if you're playing every single week. I think he's going to call some quicker passes just to get them going. I don't think they're going to fully do the rollouts at first. They're not going to get very exotic throughout the first quarter. I think you'll see that later on in the game.
I think that's a rust factor more than
yeah,
a...
Yeah, I think he's going to bring him up a little slowly.
Right.
And then once the second half hits and it's a close game, then they're going to start bringing it out once he gets his reps in.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there is going to be rust. You know, people are expecting Wentz to come in here and be Superman and try to save this offense from what they've looked like the past couple weeks. And even
it's just not going to happen at first.
Yeah, and it's a great test, or it's not really a test. It's a great situation for Wentz to come in and return week three against a Colts defense.
He get to play the lowly Colts.
Right. I mean, I'll take Carson Wentz going up against the Colts defense in his debut. I just didn't want it to be in a couple weeks. Me and Gino talked about this on the podcast last week. I wanted him back. If you were going to start him within the first month of the season, I wanted it to be before that Minnesota game in week five.
Yeah, you don't want to start him off with that.
Yeah, whether it was against Tampa Bay, whether it was against this game against the Colts, which is going to be, or Tennessee the week after, I wanted him to get a tune-up game to where he could knock off the rust. The Eagles could still win a game if he's struggling a little bit, so then he's ready to go up against Minnesota. Because then, after that Titans game, Lars, the Eagles' schedule gets a lot tougher, and you start playing some of the best in the NFC and the AFC, because after the Vikings, you got the Saints, you got the Jaguars.
I'm seeing October 28th in London against the Jaguars.
Just go through some of the schedule after Tennessee. Let's just go down the line.
Yeah, so you're home against the Vikes, you got the Giants on the road. Not a whole lot there. Carolina's always tough. And then you got Jacksonville in London.
Yep.
And then you got the bye week, which is very big, because if you're playing in London, that'd be tough if you got to play a game the next week.
It would be tough, yeah.
But then you got Dallas, New Orleans, the Giants, Washington, Dallas again.
So you got a big slate of division games and the Saints thrown in there.
And then the last three games are you go to the Rams in L.A.,
yep,
which is going to be that's a huge game. That could separate if they have a chance at the number one seed.
Right.
That game could decide who gets home field throughout the playoffs.
So these are the games to get him ready, you know, be against a Colts defense and then against a Titans defense. You know what I'm saying?
It's actually a good start for him to start against two AFC teams.
Yeah.
Before he has to get into the NFC East schedule.
And at home. And the defense plays better at home, whereas on the road they've been averaging giving up 22 points a game recently.
Yeah.
So the defense should be better against the Colts. I mean, it's a good test against Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton. We'll get more into the Colts matchup throughout the week, but For Wentz, it's at home in front of the fans supporting him. Extremely excited to see him again back. You know, and the Eagles just play better at home, so you get that. And then you go on the road to Tennessee. I like those two games to get him fully ready to go up against the Vikings and then to start taking on some of these tougher matchups throughout the season that they do. So, again, Carson Wentz is back.
He's back.
He is starting against the Indianapolis Colts. And, Going to be a lot of fun. Again, I feel like we forget just because of the hype of the Super Bowl and how well Nick Foles played and when Carson Wentz went down, that we kind of just the whole 13-3 season, pretty much Wentz getting you home field advantage and breaking the record again. In his second year in the NFL, he breaks the Eagles' single-season touchdown record with 33.
Some people seem to forget those 13 games because of the amount of time that it's been.
Rightfully so. Because,
since then.
Yeah, and that the time frame and also what they did in that time span with Wentz being down, winning a championship and beating the Falcons even last week.
But you know this is a way better team with him
right,
in the lineup
compared
to Nick
Foles.
Remember
when they ripped off 9 games? And how well Carson Wentz played. I was at the game against Washington on Monday Night Football. He is the best athlete I've ever seen in person play. And I've seen LeBron James in person. That performance against the Redskins was the best performance
game.
I have ever seen. We were at the game together.
We were in Cleveland
that
night.
That's right. Against the Knicks, so I don't know how great it was, but I digress. We'll save that for our NBA podcast. But Carson Wentz, again, he is, and I know it was only 1 year, and guys like Derek Carr and Deshaun Watson could make some people nervous that Wentz, we still have to see him prove it. But he was at such a high level last year, not just from a physical standpoint of, you know, on the run and making crazy plays down the field, but mentally, the progressions, the story that Zach Ertz told about that Carolina game where Wentz in the film room saw the play that Carolina could not cover, and it was the exact play that Ertz scored in the red zone on that touchdown, and the double move inside, up the seam. Carson Wentz, that was a play that was scored because of Carson Wentz's film study throughout the week, and I do trust 100% that there will not be any sort of setback. There's not going to be any third-year slump for Carson Wentz. I think he is going to be in this league for a long time. He's going to be an elite player for the Eagles for a very long time, and that starts up again this Sunday, Week 3, against the Indianapolis Colts. Coming up on the Locked On Eagles podcast, we are going to get into the wide receiver situation, Lars, because they're pretty thin right now. They are 4 deep, it looks like, and only 1 deep when it comes to proven talent in Nelson Agholor. So we're going to get into that. Are the Eagles going to add anybody? That's coming up right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast.
You know, Lou, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking us for advice. I'm kind of surprised they ask me, but I'm pretty sure they ask you, knowing how much you digest football every single day. You know, usually it's what team to bet on each week. We take a look at all the matchups and we see what would be the best available game to be able to win. The truth is, we don't know exactly who's going to win. Nobody knows.
I mean, Tampa Bay's 2-0.
Yeah,
would not have called that. I picked Tampa Bay to lose. I picked New Orleans in my Survivor pool week 1.
Yeah, so nobody has that. Nobody has that sports book from Back to the Future 2.
Right.
However, if you think you know, and you want to put up some dough, you got to check out my bookie. And remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why we always tell people to bet with my bookie. And believe me, they're your best bet for this NFL season. They've been in business for years. They got great reviews online. And also, their mobile site is easy to use because even I can use it. Join now, and my bookie will match deposit dollar for dollar. Remember that. Use promo code Locked On to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code Locked On when creating your account to claim your dollar for dollar bonus. And remember, with MyBookie, it's you play, you win, and you get paid.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Welcome back, I should say, to the Locked On Eagles podcast. Carson Wentz is back.
We're in it to win it.
But does he have enough offensive weapons, Lars, to work with? According to Adam Schefter today, Mike Wallace fractured his fibula. He's out indefinitely right now. Doug Peterson said he's out at least the next couple weeks. I don't know if he's just trying to sound optimistic. They did not put Mike Wallace on IR, so Mike Wallace eventually at some point will be back this year. But he only had one catch yesterday and then got hurt on his first reception, sadly enough for the guy. He was open a lot, I thought, against Atlanta. We were even watching the tape, but he never got the opportunity to make some plays, and it does stink that he didn't get to be on the field for Carson Wentz coming back this week. I think if he's healthy when he comes back, I think him and Wentz will be able to make plays together. But regardless, right now, this Eagles team and Carson Wentz does not have a lot to work with.
They need a little something.
Nelson Agholor is healthy, and then after that, your wide receivers that you can play on the outside right now and in the slot are DeAndre Carter, Shelton Gibson, and DeAndre Carter, Shelton Gibson, who's the other guy? Oh, Kamar Aiken. It was a forgettable name. So
he got a lot of targets yesterday.
Right. So that's a problem, Lars, is that Kamar Aiken was targeted a lot. So I think when Carson Wentz comes back, the offense is going to be better just because he's going to find guys, and I think he's going to be able to make plays on the run. And, you know, again, when the play breaks down, yesterday Nick Foles just wasn't finding guys open, but Carson Wentz has that threat of running too. Even though he's injured, he does have the ability to take off and run.
But you know what, Louis? It doesn't hurt to have some extra bodies at wide receiver.
Exactly. So I think that they're going to, you know, they asked Doug Peterson today, does Carson Wentz have enough weapons? And he didn't immediately instill confidence in the receivers he had. He immediately said, we're always looking to add talent and depth at every position. And I think Howie Roseman and the team right now are looking to do just that. So Peterson immediately pretty much admitted they need help right now. And it makes perfect sense. You still have Nelson Agholor. Can they beat the Colts with what they have right now in Carson Wentz? I think so. Nelson Agholor had another big game against Tampa Bay.
You still got Ertz. You got Goddard.
If you're going to actually use Dallas Goddard and more 12 personnel this week.
You and I were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, and I get Joshua Perkins was a former receiver, so you know they used him at wide out more, but Dallas Goedert needs to get on the field more. How do you combat not having a great wide receiver core? It's playing your two great pass-catching tight ends on the field more with that 12 personnel. And I know Peterson said he likes to have three receivers on the field more because it keeps the defense in nickel, which is easier to run on, and you also have more speed. So they're going to add another receiver, and we'll get into maybe who in a second, but I do, a part of the way you fix this is having Dallas Goedert play, and it's also Carson Wentz again. He's going to make plays with regardless who he has. In 2016 as a rookie, he didn't put up great numbers, and they had terrible weapons, but Carson Wentz was still making plays down the field. You should get Darren Sproles back this week as well. I don't think Carson Wentz is going to be held back. I would like him to be, again, picky with when he takes more yards each play and when he decides to get down quicker. And I thought, for the most part, he did a good job of that in his first 2 years, despite getting hurt on a run. It was for a touchdown in a huge game. So his legs are going to be an option as well to help this offense for the Eagles. The linebacker's going to have to keep an eye on him. They're not going to be able to just discard his running ability like they did with Nick Foles. But, again, like you said, they have to add somebody because you cannot rely on Kamar Aiken and Shelton Gibson next to Nelson Agholor at wide receiver. You just don't, especially when Doug Peterson wants to run three wide receivers, and it seems like he's going to do it regardless of who's on the field.
Yeah, and the fact that Alshon's still out.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. When Alshon comes back again, that's going to be a huge step. So there's ways to make this a lot better. It's not panic time for me, because when Alshon comes back as well, then you have your three main targets again, and Alshon, Jeffrey,
you got your tight Packer, ends,
and Nelson,
and you got
Aguilar,
your three-headed monster running back.
And Corey Clement had another big game against Tampa Bay yesterday.
But go to the return game, too.
They do have to add somebody. They really do, because we don't know how long Mike Wallace could be out. He could be out for the season. And
it's going to be a while.
It's going to be a veteran, too. They're going to add a veteran wide receiver. And I know Dez Bryant's out there. Josh Gordon, Dez Bryant, that was the talk of the morning, right? Josh Gordon, Vegas right now, though, by the way, just saying, I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. But based on what Doug Peterson was describing and how they need help right now, and who knows with Josh Gordon's availability and his hamstring injury. But right now Vegas has the Eagles as the favorite to land Josh Gordon by 4 o'clock today. Would I be surprised if Howie Roseman gave the Browns a 4th-round pick or a 5th-round pick for Josh Gordon like he did last year to Miami with Jay Ajayi, who fell out of favor in that locker room? No, absolutely not. And I'm not going to complain if that happens, because then you have Alshon, Josh Gordon, Nelson Agholor as your three receivers to go with those two tight ends, and your running backs with Carson Wentz coming back? Good Lord. I don't know who you're going to decide to cover on that Eagles offense. So if it is Josh Gordon, more power to you. But with how Doug Peterson said, he wants a veteran that can come in and contribute right away.
Someone who knows
offense.
The playbook.
Who did that sound like, Lars?
Hang on.
Who's a guy that's available in free agency right now that maybe even played for Doug Peterson?
You know, can we go through the Wayback Machine a little bit?
Yeah. Let's take a trip down memory lane.
Yeah, right? I think I remember. This guy used to play with Nick Foles. I remember this. That 28-2 touchdown ratio, and he played a big part in it. And I think I remember that season, he had 7 touchdown catches that year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Jeremy Maclin. That is Jeremy Maclin. I remember him. You know, I would say out of all the options that are available, even with Josh Gordon, we know Josh Gordon is of course, the most talented out of the bunch because of the untapped potential that he has. But I would just say it's the most logical choice to get Jeremy Maclin back because, like you said, he's very familiar with Doug Peterson. And Maclin has played in Philadelphia before. He knows the environment. He knows everything about it. It's like you're not, you don't have to bring him up to speed. He'll know what to do.
And he can instantly play if you want Aguilar on the outside. Macklin played in the slot a lot with Kansas City and Baltimore last year. Or if you want him on the outside. And
you push Aguilar out wide if you sign Macklin?
No, if I bring in Macklin, I'm keeping Nelson inside. And that's why I would rather have a guy like Jeremy Macklin than another guy that's familiar with the offense, who Doug Peterson described. Or he didn't describe a player, but he's describing the type of situation he wants. It also did define Jordan Matthews, who is also on the open market. But the thing with Matthews is,
he's a slot guy.
He's primarily a slot receiver that I don't trust to be on the outside. So it's up to what you want with Nelson Aguilar. If you want him on the outside, then sure, bring in Jordan Matthews. But when Alshon Jeffrey comes back, and when eventually Mike Wallace comes back, I want Aguilar back inside. I just think he's more dangerous out there.
Yeah,
I know,
it'd be kind of weird if you have two slot receivers.
Look, I'm cheering for Jeremy Macklin to come back in here.
I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah, and I think he can contribute right away. Again, he played with Doug Peterson in Kansas City. He was in Philadelphia for the first, you know, from 2009 up until 2014. So the first 5 years of his career, he was with the Eagles, had a huge year, his last year there. He's only a couple years removed from a 1,000-yard season in Kansas City. I know he dropped off the past few years, but he's only 30 years old, and they need help right away, and he's going to be an upgrade over Kamar Aiken and DeAndre Carter. And I think Jeremy Macklin's going to be the guy. It's not just all of that being said, but the Eagles almost added him last summer, and then this year before they added Mike Wallace, they were interested in bringing Jeremy Macklin in this year. So I think it's going to be Jeremy Macklin. Is Howie Roseman going to do his due diligence and maybe bring in Josh and try to bring in Josh Gordon? Yeah, because a guy of that talent, I think Howie Roseman's willing to take a risk on a talent like that. He's done it before. He's willing to part with mid-round picks for possibly elite talent like Josh Gordon is, or not elite talent, but really good talent like Jay Ajayi, who's been one of the more efficient runners in the NFL the past few years. So
I think my philosophy is I want more fit than I do talent. And I think Macklin fits a lot better with this offense than I think Josh Gordon does.
For what they need, I'm
for what they need, Macklin's the guy. Because Josh Gordon and Alshon Jeffrey are rather similar in their playing style. And if you got two guys out there that play almost the same thing.
I mean, I'm certainly, okay, if let's put it in a vacuum. If Josh Gordon and Macklin are both just going to be on the field playing for you week three and on throughout the season, who am I choosing? It's a no-brainer. It's Josh Gordon.
Yes.
But there's factors with Josh Gordon you don't have with Jeremy Macklin.
There's a lot of off-the-field stuff.
It's not only
stuff,
one. You're not looking
pass
for a
history.
Number one wide receiver. You're probably not extending Josh Gordon after this year. I mean, you do have control of his contract for the next couple of years. He becomes a restricted free agent, so you have his rights because of all of his suspensions. So it is an interesting possibility for the Eagles, but you have a possible resuspension. I don't know what's going on with that. The Browns maybe were concerned with a relapse.
It's kind of an unknown.
And the
hamstring. I would not be wanting to go into an unknown.
Yeah, and he's got a hamstring injury, which I know Macklin had before which was part of why he wasn't signed. You know, Adam Schefter said Macklin wants to play football this year, but he's battling a hamstring injury. That was in the summer. He should be healthy right now by this time. So based on what the Eagles are describing and what they really need right now, just until Alshon comes back and eventually Mike Wallace, I think they're going to go with a more conservative approach and try to bring in a Jordan Matthews or a Jeremy Macklin. And I think it's going to be Macklin, Lars. I think he's finally going to be back. And it's not just the analyst side and makes side of it. It's just from the football perspective. But the nostalgic young Eagles fan in me.
He's also overall better. He's just a better receiver.
Yeah, no, than Jordan Matthews.
Than Jordan Matthews,
yeah. I agree with that. It's also just, I want one of these reunions to happen. It didn't happen with DeSean Jackson last offseason.
It happened with Nick Foles.
We thought he was coming back when he was a free agent. There were rumors about the Eagles maybe inquiring about LeSean McCoy with the Buffalo Bills again. Jeremy Macklin, twice already, the Eagles have shown interest in bringing back. This could be a third time. I just want to see, as a guy that grew up watching those three, I want to see one of them back with the Eagles to play with this new era, this dominant Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles era. And but right now it looks like the most
likely possibility and get one of those guys a ring
is
too.
Macklin. Yeah, it's the nostalgic young Eagles fan of me that wants to see one of those guys in Eagles green again and to do right that by them for what Chip Kelly did. Chip Kelly cut DeSean Jackson unjustly, so he traded LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso, and then he undersold Jeremy Macklin in free agency. He offered him, you know, $8 to $9 million when Andy Reid was offering him more. And Jeremy Macklin said he wanted to come back to Philadelphia, and Chip Kelly wouldn't answer his phone. And it's really righting a wrong. And if that was a factor
in
Howie Roseman's decision making, that wouldn't shock me in the slightest. Because Howie Roseman, while he's building a championship contending roster for years to come, a lot of it too is he's trying to get back at Chip Kelly for the power struggle.
I don't know why he even has to. Chip Kelly's 0-3 at UCLA.
Right.
They just lost to Fresno State last Saturday at home.
That's another part of this for me, and I think for other fans too, is they would love to see Jeremy Maclin back, more so than Jordan Matthews, because, yeah, Matthews was really good for the Eagles for a couple years there inside, and he helped Carson Wentz his rookie year. He developed a good relationship with him, but Maclin we saw for a long time with the Eagles. He was with a number of different eras.
And he was legit.
He played in playoff games for the Eagles. And I love the guy. I loved when he came back from that torn ACL and then blew up in 2014. And I think he could still contribute to this team right now because they need a veteran guy that knows the offense. And I don't know. There's a lot of question marks with Josh Gordon still. Am I going to be excited if the Eagles trade for Josh Gordon today? Yeah. Am I going to be surprised? No. I'm not surprised at all that Vegas has the Eagles as the favorite right now because this is a typical Howie Roseman type of move. But I'm telling you, Lars, if I had to put my money on it right now, it would be Jerry Maclin. And I don't think Dez Bryant's even a possibility. I don't know about you. I don't know where Dez Bryant's head's at with what he wants to do with his football career.
Not to mention he'll cost a lot more.
Yeah, and if he's not getting the ball, the Eagles like to spread the football around a lot. You know, when he wasn't getting the ball in
Dallas. He
could start complaining. I think a lot of that was on Dak Prescott as well and Sean Lee, and I think it was a little bit oversold by those guys, and I don't think that those guys were great in the locker room as well. But Dez Bryant's a very colorful character, and I don't know, for what the Eagles need right now, I think it makes perfect sense to bring in a Jeremy Maclin, and I think it's time to make one of the reunions happen. The last one with Nick Foles worked out pretty well. I think this one could as well.
I'm glad you got to see the light.
Let's take one more break, come back, wrap up the show right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Before we get back into the show, guys, I want to talk to you about Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to proving fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person. Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater. Lars, you're a theater guy. And more.
I do enjoy the theater.
I love the theater odds. Well, you can get your tickets, Lars. And you like to look dapper. You like to get dressed up like a time traveler would, you know, back in the 1940s.
Are we really bringing this up again?
Vivid Seats can help you, Lars. Vivid Seats offer...
And they have, actually.
They offer great prices and an easy purchasing experience with the podcast code LOCKEDON. Listeners can receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. So if you're going to go travel, maybe you're going to go on the road, you Eagles fans that aren't living in the nest of Philadelphia like myself, if you want to go down and take a trip to the Lincoln Financial Field, if you're ordering tickets over $200 or more, $20 off your purchase can't help. Get a little money off your trip. Save you some gas. That's a tank of gas right there. Lars and Vivid Seats can help you do it. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Enter the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. All Vivid Seats confirm orders are backed by 100% guarantee, and we thank Vivid Seats for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, guys, let's wrap up the show here. A wild one, Lars, actually. A lot of things that we talked about today that I didn't think we were going to talk about. I thought today was going to be more so a second look at Tampa Bay.
Almost like a morning.
And yet we're talking about Carson Wentz playing under center next week against the Colts, and also the Eagles making a move at wide receiver today. At some point, they're going to do something, Lars. Whether it's at 4 o'clock, them trading for Josh Gordon, whether it's signing Jeremy Maclin.
We
might be getting Maclin back, an old friend, maybe Jordan Matthews. They're going to – maybe it's neither. Maybe it's – I don't know. I hope it's not Kenny Britt.
By the way, you did put up a poll on this, right?
I did put up a poll, and that's what we're going to get into now. Eagles fans, who do you want the Eagles to add at wide receiver? So the options I put – I mean, there's a possibility they bring in a guy like Kenny Britt, who they showed interest in free agency last year. I really hope it's not Kenny Britt, and I hope it's one of the other guys. But if I had to pick four favorites right now, or four of the players that are being tossed around a lot based on their availability for the Eagles, it'd be Josh Gordon, Jeremy Maclin, Jordan Matthews, and Dez Bryant. So the poll, who do you want the Eagles to add at wide receiver? Right now, 67% say Josh Gordon, which I think is fair considering his talent. If we had to choose one we wanted on the team, I think it would be Gordon. If I had to say which was more likely, I'd say Maclin. But right now, Maclin sits in second place at 22%. No votes for Jordan Matthews right now at 0%. And then 11% of you say Dez Bryant. So
he just doesn't excite you.
No, it doesn't really make sense for what you want right now. And then eventually when you get healthy, you want Aguilar back inside. Ideally, this move is to help get Aguilar back inside so that would, because Alshon's going to be, I mean, he's still week to week, but if he doesn't come back against the Colts this week, it should be against Tennessee or Minnesota. So Alshon's going to be back within the next couple weeks. And if you add a Macklin, that allows Aguilar to go back inside and rip those slot corners apart. And that's what I want, personally. So that's also why I want Josh Gordon or Jeremy Macklin over a Jordan Matthews. But it's going to be interesting, Lars. We'll see what happens. Today's going to be an exciting day in Eagles football. And Eagles fans out there, I hope you're feeling a lot better about today. I know they lost yesterday, but I think that some of this news, some of the speculative stuff right now, it's great. It's part of what we love in football. And with the Eagles, it seems like they're always in these stories because of Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson. So that's going to do it. For Lars Lewis, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Follow me on Twitter, at DiBiase, L-O-E.
At Lars Lewis 12.
Yeah, check out our website, LockedOnEagles.com. We're going to have some written stuff up today as well. And then myself and Gino Camilleri will be back tomorrow to continue our coverage. We'll get one last look at Tampa Bay and then move on to Indianapolis.
It's good stuff, people.
Subscribe to the podcast, 5-star review if you would. The feedback from the fans has been great throughout our start to this Locked On Eagles podcast in the new era. So that's going to do it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow. Let's go, Birds.
Wentz is back!